Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast, our first of the new season. I'm your host Peter, joined as always with Donnie and Tom. How are you doing, Donnie, and how was your summer?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Good to be back. Summer, I've not been away anywhere yet, but so far so good. Just looking forward to the football being back.
Yeah, you're going to be a week before me, is that about right? We're going to be roughly the same time?
I am away on the 5th of August, so the week the season starts, I'll be away that week.
So when I come back, you go away. Right, that's Tom, how about you? How was your summer? Have you had a holiday?
No holiday for me, I'm afraid. just a quiet one this year. So looking forward to the football coming back.
Good, good. Right, okay. As people were asking about the app update, so this podcast is going to kind of contain a few things. We're going to talk about a cup. We're going to talk quickly about fixtures, some transfers, some questions. And we've got some price reveals. And first of all, the app update. People from Fantasy Half contacted me. I'm Fantasy Half. From Fantasy Scotland contacted me. The game is waiting for approval through Apple Store and Google Store. So it's a brand new app altogether. I believe they've got the hashtag on their thing, back to basics. Make it that way you may. I think that means they're going back to the old way of the style of football, but we'll find out shortly. So once the game is live, we'll be all over it and back online. I don't know if there's any changes in the game or chips in it like that. None's been discussed that way. So I've got a question on that later, I believe, but we know as much as you know, basically. Once it's live, it'll go live. And I'm pretty sure they'll go live as soon as possible because the game season kicks off in less than 14 days now, is that right? Like 12 days to kick off or something like that? No, 3 weeks in, because it was mainly all day, right? Anyway. Okay, so new season, new cup, as always. And the first cup of the season is always named after somebody departing the league who's been a favourite of ours the season before. And this year it was Kevin Van Veen. So the Kevin Van Veen Cup is open live. You can DM me if you want entry. There's no time for the present. Get involved. I'll set it all up. I will also put a tweet out on Twitter the next couple of days as well. And you can reply to that and I'll put you in. And again, the rules are normally two-legged affair up to a winner in the final. That is obviously participants dependent because if I get too many, I can't go two-legged and maybe that in the later stages. But as it stands, that's how we're going to work it. Fixtures, I think we'll cover more in depth next week, guys, but anybody who's looking for a fixture guide, follow at Sutty Show on Twitter, because he puts his fixture ticker up, and I'm trying to explain this for new people. So Sutty is somebody you need to follow straight away, because he updates the ticker, so you can, even if you're not the most in-depth detail about Scottish football, that should help you out. You can kind of avoid, he's got in a traffic light system, so you can see these fixtures. Hard fixtures. I know the hardcore know what I'm talking about, but I'm trying to explain this for people maybe new to the game. So, Donnie, I'm going to ask you first, explain fantasy Scottish football to any listeners, because I don't want to jump. We didn't make this mistake last year. People who just started the game were kind of like, whoa, you're kind of just skipped over. So explain it. It's like FPL, but a Scottish slant on it. Go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a game I really enjoy and I've done well in the last couple of seasons, but first and foremost, it's just a bit of fun. Scottish game, I think, is very unique in the nature that it is two big teams. and then everyone else is fighting for their positions. So you're trying to load up on Rangers and Celtic players and the best of the rest. But primarily, have fun with it. Enjoy the Scottish game for what it is, and learn about it at the same time. I think the first season I played, I was very much a casual. Used transfers all the time to chop and change my team. But the more you watch it and the more you learn about it, it does improve your skills. So from a fantasy point of view, there's certain positions that you'll look for, and that's things that I try and highlight throughout the season. Maybe somebody that takes penalties or somebody that's playing out of position. But the game itself, fantasy-wise, you pick your 15, you pick your best 11 for the game week, looking at the fixtures, and you just take it from there. But anyone who's new and is listening to this for the first time, you will pick it all up very easily. Everyone on this podcast has got a good track record of finishing the top 50, top 100, top 20, top 10, cup winners, myself included. It's a good community. I can't really say much more than that. Tom's your stats guy. You look at the fixtures and does top 10s and that. And obviously Peter's the main man. Everything goes through him. But it's a great game. I really enjoy it. And that's what I'm here for, is to pass on that knowledge to everyone else listening.
Anything to add to that, Tom?
No, I think that was well covered.
One thing we will, it is different from the English game, as you do get your high scoring person off the bench. Unless you change that rope, they haven't changed it yet. So there's a trick we like to call the bench trick player. You're looking for a player who's either not at the club any longer, but you get the free transfer in your squad, or a player, like for example, a youth player who's not going to play. And the idea was you put them in your team every week and you're starting 11 and you're benched with three players playing and the strongest person off the bench would come in. That's something we'll highlight again near kickoff day. And if we do get any red flags, as we like to call them, we will highlight so people get in their team once a game goes live, because it works and you will collect so much more points that way than you would if you're just picking 11 when you've got that wee kind of cheat code. And it is cheating, I suppose, but it's in the game for the start, so we all do it, so it is there. Right, so before we go to the press reviews, we'll go through the transfers from the clubs that we've seen that stand out. So, Don, you've got kind of one and out. So what you do is you'll read out what you've got for club alphabetical order, and if there's any I want to add to it, but the list I've got, we will go ahead with it. So Aberdeen, yep. Start with Aberdeen.
So Aberdeen, they have lost Matty Kennedy and Joe Lewis, who both left the club. They had a couple of loan players who've left the club as well. So that included Liam Scales, Matty Pollock and Hayden Coulson. In, they've signed a striker, Esther Solker. He's been tearing it up in the pre-season friendlies, but they do have Duke and Miovsky, so I'm not sure what his appearances will be like. They've signed Leighton Clarkson on a permanent. He was a really good player last season and somebody I would be looking to have in my first draft team. They've also signed Graham Shinney on a permanent. And as club captain, again, he's a solid midfield player, knows the club well. They signed Nicky Devlin, the right back from Livingston, a decent fantasy pedigree. And they've also got a defender on loan from Liverpool, Reece Williams. Don't really know much about him. So that's it from an Aberdeen point of view. A lot of confidence in the city at the moment. They're in Europe. They finished the season well. After what was obviously a terrible first half of the season last year under Goodwin. But from a fantasy point of view, they will have European football, so a lot of their games will be on a Sunday, so you're not going to get a lot of team news for them. They'll want to keep that third position, and as far as I'm concerned, they've probably got a good chance of doing that.
Right, and they also sold Ross McCrory for $2.3 million.
That's right.
I'll come with you, Tom, first, as you've not much talking so far. Do you like to look at Aberdeen? I think they've kind of strengthened them a place. I mean, Liam Clarkson's a great signing for him. He was in my team quite a lot last season. It looks like they've got a bit of depth up front, so they've got somebody else. I don't know if that'll be good or bad for fantasy-wise. They've got three strikers looking for two spots, unless they're playing at the wing. Graham Shinney, I believe when he came in last year, helped him out a hell of a lot. Defensive midfielder kind of helped him solidify, especially a lot of clean sheets to them. Robson came in, he's a good player. I'm glad they got him in. So I don't know if he'll be worth it for us fantasy wise, but he'll make the rest of the team probably tick a bit better. Donny's mentioned European football and how the hindrance that caused Hearts last year. It's a different kettle of fish when you're playing Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, Thursday. Even if you don't qualify, you've still got to do it in the qualifying stages. And I think that's all I wanted to talk about. Do you want any comments on these players, Tom? Any of them stand out for you?
Probably Clarkson. He was fairly consistent last season. He wasn't getting massive hauls, but he was chipping away with quite regular assists towards the end of the season. What sticks in my mind for Aberdeen was when Barry Robson came in, started managing the long sort of clean sheet spell that went on, and we're convinced it was going to end, and it just kept going and kept going. So for a defensive point of view, I think Aberdeen looked good. It's a bit of a mixed bag of the fixtures, but I think we're going to go into the fixtures more next week, so I won't say too much about that. But very strong defensively, and European football won't kick in until second week of September, is it? In about
Aberdeen qualifiers, but no, are they straight through the group stage? That's what I'm...
They will have group stage football where it'll still be conference, but they still have qualifiers for the Europa League, I believe. I think that's how it works out.
That'll be sooner rather than later. That'll be start end of July, start of August, mid August. So that should be when season starts, I think. Yeah. Anyway. Right, next up is Celtic and Donny, ins and outs.
Well, the biggest out was Big Ange. He'd took the first offer that became available and left the club. Jota, not a big name for Celtic and fantasy football. And Adam Moy, he's retired. So coming in was the man that all Celtic fans love, Brendan Rodgers. They've signed a forward, possibly midfielder, Mario Tilo. I don't know anything about him. They've signed a midfielder, Odin Thiago Holm. Don't know anything about him. They've signed Iwata on a permanent and some guy, Yang Hong Jun, midfielder. So those sound like Big Ange signings, some of those names. I don't know how much influence Brendan Rodgers has had on the signings to date, but this is your guy's territory. I don't know much about the going on at Celtic at the moment, so I'll leave this one for you.
Hey, Tom, first of all, I'll start with the outgoings then. So Aaron Moy and Jota, for large parts of last season, with a lot of fantasy teams, I think Jota was pretty much permanent in once he started hitting form. So
yep.
Thoughts on them leaving, first of all, or one retiring, actually?
I think both will be a big miss. Obviously, Jota, prolific for Celtic. He was a staple in all the fantasy football Scotland teams last season. Going to be a massive miss. Moy, he was quite surprising. He was coming off the bench and getting quite a lot of returns, and he did have a run in the team where he was starting and doing quite well. So, yeah. In terms of the players that they've brought in, I think Holmes more of a defensive midfielder, so I don't think you should be expecting too much in terms of fantasy returns there. Marco Tilio, a bit of a different story. Last season's A-League, so he came from Australia. So in the Australian Premier League, he made 26 appearances with 9 goals and 4 assists, so 15 returns in 26 games. So he's averaging more than one every second game. So he's looking good. He could potentially be a Jota replacement. He can play as a winger, and he can play on both sides as well, and his returns were fairly spread between left wing and right wing. So he should be an interesting option. I believe he's injured, so I don't think he's going to be. I don't think he's going to be starting. I don't think he's going to be fit in time to start. Whilst we're on the subject of injuries, Carter Vickers, he's going to be fighting to start the league, but it's looking likely he's probably going to be missed the first few fixtures, and we know what Celtic's defence are like without Carter Vickers, so perhaps maybe an avoid at the start of the season.
Is Johnson injured as well? Did I read that somewhere?
He's out for
Mikey
6
Johnson.
Weeks.
No,
he's thinking Anthony
Johnson, yeah.
Alistair.
Yeah, Alistair.
Alistair, sorry, I knew it was an A.
Celtic did play a behind closed doors game in Portugal. There was not really any coverage apart from a Celtic supporter hiding in a hedge. and I believe he recorded Carter Vickers limping from the bus into the training ground. So it's not looking too good in terms of Celtic's defence. So that would worry me.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I really don't know anything about these players I brought in, but the recruitment since Ange came back seemed to be pretty much, I wouldn't say 100%, because for every Hatate, you get Ediguchi who didn't work out. So I would just say these players seem to be already through the door by the time Rodgers got appointed. He's talking the talk like he's looked at them, blah, blah, blah. But whether you take that with a pinch of salt, I don't know if he's signed end date of his thing yet. So still the doors. Only team that July, we'll get into August, suppose we'll go, but we'll have to wait and see. Right, next up is Dundee. This is a bit of a mad bag of frogs here. Donnie, won't you go?
Yeah, so they've got a new manager as well. Gary Boyer departed and Tony Docherty came in. Again, not a lot that we know about Dundee, but some names that we may remember from the last time they were in the league. Paul McMullen and Paul McGowan have both left the club. Two of their most notable signings is Joe Shaughnessy, he's a St Mirren defender, and Scott Tiffany is a midfielder from Park Thistle. Now, anyone who watched the playoffs, you noticed that Tiffany was probably one of the best players for Thistle. He's somebody that, on a budget, depending on his price, you would look at and maybe have on the bench. Dundee didn't do really well last time they were in the league. Probably don't have high hopes for them this season, but you know, you'll get a gem in there. And for me, Tiffany might be one of those players. But again, an unknown quantity. We'll just have to wait and see how the season pans out for Dundee.
I can't say I know very much about these players. I know they've seen a few Mexican players as well, so I'm interested to see how they
look. I could see that.
When you get a couple of players from a foreign country. And they signed Charlie Riley from Albros, our hometown club, Tom. I believe he had a crack season last year, scoring loads of goals. So whether or not he can take a step up from League 2 to Premiership, I very much doubt that overnight. But again, if he's a starting striker, he could be maybe a cheap asset enabler. We'll have to wait and see when the game launches. As for outgoings, again, they were in the Championship last season, so I wasn't following them very much. So players like Paul McGowan, who seem to be Dundee for absolute donkeys, is now finally left. So that's my group. Any on Dundee ins and out, Tom?
No, I didn't even make any notes on them.
There you go. That's what you're thinking for the season ahead.
Just in terms of that's how much I have faith in Dundee of doing anything. So it's because, as Donnie said, they're an unknown quantity, so you probably want to maybe keep an eye on him for the first couple of game weeks and see if anybody stands out.
The manager was Dan McKenzie's assistant for a spell, is that right? So he's the one that's took charge on his own. So decent track record as a coach. We'll see how that translates into becoming a manager. Right, next up, Donnie, is Hearts.
Hearts. So Hearts have lost Ginelli, Snodgrass and Michael Smith amongst the big names. The only recruitment that I've seen so far was a goalkeeper, Michael McGovern. I think this is going to be a big season for Hearts. I'm not sure Naismith is the man to see them through it. I think the loss of Ginelli is quite big for them. He kept them ticking over quite a good bit last season. Defensively, it was well known on the podcast that they couldn't keep clean sheets. So it was never really great value there. I think Hearts can struggle this season. Be interested to know when Liam Boyce is back. I don't know if he's training or he could fill that Ginelli gap, but recruitment so far has been pretty quiet. They will need to refresh that squad, and as yet there's not much going on, so a concern for Hearts. Just have to wait and see.
Right, my take on this is they're obviously looking weaker right now. There's not much that is because I've not brought him in. And my hot take will be Hearts this year is I think Hearts are going to have a disaster this season. Once they appointed Naismith, I just went, I know a lot of my running battle with Hearts fans. It was Gordon before. I think they went for the easy option. I think Hearts are a very big club in Scottish football and they should have looked at candidates for that manager role rather than went for a guy who stepped up for coach role because it was an easy option. I think I might come back to bite him. We'll wait and see. Could be proved wrong. I was going to say hope for their sake, but I don't like Hearts. But I'll see. I think they could have they went for the easy option rather than doing their due diligence and probably get a really good coach in. Because some of the names linked to them are like top candidates in Scandinavian leagues. And it's only kind of looking at the name kind of side eye going with Scandinavia, but there's just a probably big league of Scotland is with the teams in it, so I wouldn't disrespect that. Any thoughts on Hearts, Tom?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, their only signing so far is Michael McGovern, who's a goalkeeper. He's 39 years old, so maybe don't expect too much from that.
Excellent as well, I believe.
He hasn't played any consistent first-team football since the 2015-16 season, and that was when he was at Hamilton Accies. So he's pretty much played second fiddle at Norwich since then. But they've kept a hold of him for a long time, so they must have seen something in him, must have valued him as a backup. So see what he can do, but I wouldn't be expecting too much. I reckon he's probably there to play backup to Xander Clark this season, and perhaps maybe some sort of coaching aspect, or maybe has aspirations to move into that kind of role, and this is a sort of transitional phase for him. But yeah, not expecting too much, as Peter mentioned, they're weaker because they're not really invested into the squad anymore from last season, and they've lost some key players. Ginelli was massive for them. So I mean, obviously the transfer window's not closed yet, but it's something we'll keep listeners updated on as the season, or as the pre-season progresses.
Okay. Next up, Donnie, is Hibernian.
Yep. So the biggest loss for Hibernian will be Kevin Nisbet. He was eventually sold. So I'm interested to see how his career progresses, but a big loss for Hibs. Cabraja was a defender, and McGeady, his season never really got going. So he's gone. There's a couple of loan signings that they had. Will Fish has gone back to Manchester United. I think they're trying to get him back. One of Tom's favourite, Egan Riley, he has gone back to his parent club as well. Coming in the doors is Dylan Levitt, a good fantasy name from the past. Didn't have a good season last year with Dundee United. Be interesting to see how he gets on at Hibs. Adam Lafondre, for those who can remember. I'm not sure where that signing's come from. It doesn't scream fantasy as far as I'm concerned, but we'll see how he gets on in Scottish football. And Ellie Ewan was a guy they had on loan and is now permanent. From what I've seen in the pre-season, he seems to be doing pretty well. I think he's going to be the main man up front for Hibs, and if he's priced right, I think you could get value out of him. So I think Hibs, in comparison to Hearts that we just talked about, Hibs can be quite positive with the season that they've got ahead of them. They've got Martin Boyle, who, again, I don't think he's close to coming back from his injury, but if he does, and I know that's somebody that is exciting for the game. But the loss of Nisbet is probably a big one. They've recruited, probably not too bad, and should finish in the top six, I think.
Cool. Dylan Levitt interests me because I think he could have the potential to be a really good asset if they have set him up quite late. You missed out the signing of the Polish goalkeeper, Tony. Did you read that?
No.
Maximilian Boric, now we're like, no chance. Yeah. Looked at it, it's Arthur Boric's nephew. There we go. There's a connection.
No, it's his cousin.
It's his nephew here, 20 year old, is a nephew of former.
Oh, really? I got a cousin.
And I think the Ewan transfer was good because I think he was also now looking for this to be a kind of stepping stone. He has looked the main man in training, and I think that Adam LaFond could just become a backup for him. He's quite a decent age now. So, again, like you said, if he's priced properly, it could be a nice little enabler up front. Tom, thoughts on Hibs, ins and outs?
Adam Lafondre, he is 36 years old. He's a ripe old age for a striker. He also comes from the A-League in Australia. Last season, he made 18 appearances and managed to get 10 goals and 1 assist. So, see how he gets on in Scotland. Ellie Ewan, as you mentioned, I think he's probably going to be the main man. I don't know if Nisbet's going to be as big a loss because he didn't really feature that much last season. He was injured quite a lot of the time. And I thought when he wasn't in the team, Ewan played a more central role, and that's when he seemed to flourish. So definitely keep an eye on Ewan for the start of this season.
Cool. And like Donnie mentioned as well, hopefully Martin Boyle gets back soon because he's also our... look at history, but him in the fantasy, he's like pretty much, if he can get back fit and back to his, he can pretty much fixture proof. As mentioned, the team he plays. Right, next up is Kilmarnock, Donny.
So Kilmarnock have lost a fantasy favourite, Ash Taylor, and some of their loan players going back to their parent clubs include Jordan Jones, Lewis Mayo, for those that remember last season. He was a 2.2 starting defender from Rangers. Whether they try and get him back or not, I'm not sure. And Christian Deutsch up front. Cully didn't really have a good season last year. They struggled for goals. They've brought in Matty Kennedy from Aberdeen and Kyle McGuinness from Hibs. I don't know what kind of a season Kilmarnock will have. They just didn't really get going last year and ended up in a dogfight. It'd be interesting to see how they get on. Obviously, McGuinness is in charge there. He knows the Scottish game pretty well. But not really added much in comparison to what they've lost. So we'll have to wait and see on Kilmarnock.
They also added Stuart Finlay on loan. Did Stuart Finlay come from originally? We see Kilmarnock player and then sold. Name rings a bell, as an Orchard Finlay. And the player I did like looking at the site, Robbie Dees from Inverness, who had a good season with them last year. So if he's priced cheaply, he could be one of those cheap assets to defence, Tony, because he played the first cup game. So again, that's something we may as well bring up right now. There's your chance to look at these teams that are not in Europe. They're playing the League Cup group stages, so you can probably see what players are favoured. Though in saying that, I think only Kilmarnock is the one that won at the Premiership team at the weekend. They all get beat or drop points, so keep an eye on that for the next couple of games. Any thoughts on Kilmarnock ins and outs, Tom?
In terms of the ins, Matty Kennedy, I think he did all right a few seasons ago at Aberdeen. Kyle McGuinness never really did much at Hibs, so not getting too excited there. I don't know. I think Kilmarnock are a bit like Dundee for me. Maybe see how they get on at the start of the season, see if anyone stands out. But I wouldn't be rushing to bring any of the players in other than Danny Armstrong, who did very well last season. He was a bit of a cheap enabler for most managers. So he could be a good shout. He seemed to do well regardless of Kilmarnock's performances. So he's probably the only one I would watch just now.
More on Danny Armstrong later. Hey, Livingston, Donny.
Okay, so leaving Livingston, we have Nicky Devlin, who went to Aberdeen, Jack Fitzwater and Stephen Omienga. They've taken in Michael Devlin from Hibs, Miles Welsh-Hayes, for a defender from Harrogate, and Mo Sangre, a midfielder from Accrington. Livy, they're a hit-and-miss team in the world of fantasy football, but Devlin and Fitzwater, probably a big miss at the back. They've been pretty consistent returners for the Livingston team over the last few seasons. So be interesting to see how they fare without those. I did notice at the weekend they had a pretty strong lineup for a League Cup match and they just couldn't get the result. But a lot of these teams are rusty. I think I've always said it with Livingston, you maybe get 1 in 3, 1 in 4 returns out of them and they maybe just have to wait it out. You usually do get good value, but it's always a struggle for them over the course of a season because their budget is tight and they can't attract, you know, the best players. But usually a well-organised team that will get returns over the course of the season. So that's Livingston.
Yep, Mike made to the end of last season to tighten his budget. So what you might get with Livingston is you might get your cheap enablers here because it gives you a chance. These players come in. They're normally priced quite cheap with Livingston, so keep an eye on the League Cup game. Keep an eye on the first game of the season. You make yourself some cheap 2.2s, 2.3s in there to help you enable other round. Any comments on Livingston, Tom?
Sangre, he made 22 League One appearances last season for Accrington Stanley. On the BBC website, they seem to class him as a midfielder, but last season he didn't get any goals or assists and he played mostly as left back or centre back. So not really too sure where he's going to fit in there. But Livingston are quite good for cheap enablers, as you mentioned. Guthrie, from a few seasons ago, was one of the highest scoring defenders in the game. So, don't give Livingston a miss because you can get some gems amongst their team. And they do have players that kind of have purple patches as well. Devlin, for one, last season did well in the season before that too, which is obviously why Aberdeen have decided to invest there.
Okay, next up is Motherwell.
So Motherwell most notably have lost Kevin Van Veen, obviously their top goal scorer and the man from a fantasy point of view couldn't stop scoring at the end of the season. In they've got John Obika, who was on loan, is now permanent. They've signed Connor Wilkinson from Walsall and Pape Suare, a left back from Crystal Palace. I think they will struggle without the goals from Van Veen. The guy just couldn't miss, but you know, Obika will be, I guess, the man to replace him up front. I can't see them having such a good season, you know, without those goals. It's going to be very difficult for them to match where they were last year. But you do get good value with Spittle. Was decent value. Defence-wise, there's always decent value. Kelly and goals. So Obika could be the type of forward that, if he's priced correctly, You've got him cheap, you leave him on the bench and you'll get rewarded when he does score. But I think, obviously, from having such a good end of the season last season and losing Van Veen, I think they will struggle as far as that's concerned.
Yep, just to add to that, Max Johnson, it looks like leaving a free transfer as well. He kind of broke through, I think it was most of our teams at the end of the season as well. So, again, he seemed to have a good coach. I agree with Donny. I can see them keeping up that form they had last season, especially when they lost their main man up front. But I'll have to remain to be seen. They also had a couple of young guys playing in the cup game in the week. So, again, they could be another team. They could, a couple of neighbours could arise out there for low prices to start getting the first team games or at least good minutes. Have to keep an eye on that. Thoughts on Motherwell, Tom?
Van Veen's going to be a massive miss for them. He was a bit of an anonymy there. Connor Wilkinson, he didn't really do too well last season. Obviously, he came from Walsall, who play in League Two in England, where he made 22 appearances and just managed 3 goals and no assists. The previous season, he was a bit better. He managed 33 appearances with 10 goals and 2 assists. So he's perhaps maybe looking to come up here and sort of kickstart his career again. So it really depends on how motivated he is. So Spittle might offer some value, as Donny said, but then again, how much of that was assisting things with Van Veen scoring the goals? So a bit of a concern there now that they've lost Van Veen. I think he really did sort of give them that spark.
Okay. Right, Donny, over you, Rangers. You're an expert, ins and outs.
So probably the most active team in terms of the transfer market. For good reason. We obviously didn't win anything last season, so a rebuild has begun. So leaving the Scottish game, we've got Ryan Kent, Scott Arfield, Alan McGregor, Alfredo Morelos, Philip Hollander and Tony Cholak. A player that was on loan, Malik Tillman, has also left. And we've brought in, every one of these is world-class, Sam Lammers, Cyril Dessers, Jack Butland, Dujon Sterling, Kieran Dowell, Leon Balogun and Abdullah Sima from Brighton on loan. There's still probably a few more to go out. They'll include Scott Wright and Glenn Kamara. I think both of those are looking for new clubs, and the Rangers have still got tabs and a couple more players to add to that. So from a Rangers point of view, I guess it's exciting times because we've had the same team for so long over the last few seasons that this is a total overhaul from the goals to the defence, the midfield up front. I mean, that's what, 1, 2, 3 forwards that we've signed. We've got Roof is still with the club. We're looking at another forward, so I think you could probably expect a lot more goals from Rangers this season, which is great for me, but from a fantasy point of view, it's going to be, you know, a bit of a juggling act, picking the best one and running from there. In terms of how they line up, who knows? We've got our first game tonight against Newcastle, which is Alan McGregor's testimonial, and then I suppose, like everyone else, we play at the weekend, we play midweek, and you know, there'll be plenty of more games between now and before the season starts, so you'll get an idea of how they're all going to shape up. But for me, it's exciting. Look forward to it. A lot of good names to sort of learn about and understand. And I think, you know, from what we've seen from Bale and the signings that he made, Cantwell and Raskin, he seems to know a player. And these have all been handpicked by him, so it'd be interesting to see, you know, how we do for the new season. So I'm looking forward to it. I guess as Celtic fans, you've been keeping a close eye on this as well. So you'll know more than me, maybe.
Not ahead of them, mate. Not ahead of them. A little one ahead is a guy who played at Atlanta and he scored 1 goal in 3 seasons. Him? That's the one I know. Do you think you're going to go two up top? Because that's quite a lot of strikers. You brought in another one, still coming
out the door. I don't know how Bale's going to play. I think they'll have players maybe shifting positions, but Dessers seems to be his main man up front. So I'm not really sure where the rest fit in. If you think before, we had the target man in the middle, you had Sakala on one side and Kent on the other. So maybe just try and recreate that.
Sounds
right. Having a lot of movement up front, but they're shaping up well. As I say, it's exciting because, you know, we don't know what we're going to get. It could explode or it could, you know, take off quite spectacularly. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Again, that's always neat to look at. Keep an eye on the friendlies coming up. You see the, because you'll also will see the information starting to appear. Because with all the team news, we get Celtic, Ross County team news at the start of the season. Yeah. So at least then we'll see a team, otherwise you'll be guessing. So it's pick tried and tested, or keep an eye on the fixtures. Right, next up is Ross County, Donny.
So leaving Ross County, we've got a fancy favourite, Iacovetti. He was always good for returns. Noah Kenny was a player they had on loan, and Aurora Edwards was on loan as well. So they've all left the club. Coming in, we've got Jay Henderson, Eamon Brophy, and James Brown. County, they're a difficult team to predict. Don't offer huge value. You need to try and catch players when they're on a good streak. So somebody like Brophy might offer you that. But it's just, you know, you do get a hidden gem. We had Charles Cook from a couple of seasons ago. We had Iacovetti last season who offered value. There'll be somebody in that team that is priced at the right level that you can bring in, put in the bench, and you'll get returns. But they will struggle, as they usually do in the league. But from a fantasy point of view, there'll be somebody there that offers value.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, not much to add to that. I don't know any of these players apart from Brophy, so it's a wait and see how they play in the cup and how they play in the league, and I suppose you might get a cheap player out of it, but I'm not offering much hope for Ross County having a particularly good season. I'd be surprised if they did. Any thoughts on Ross County, Tom?
Kyle Turner, signed from Partick Thistle. He had 35 appearances in the Championship last season and managed 5 goals and 11 assists, so potentially a value player there. Can he take the step up? He might get some returns against sort of lower ranking teams from last season, so I think he's one to keep an eye on. Just in terms of Rangers, Sam Lammers and Cyril Dessers both came from Serie A. Lammers got 2 goals and 2 assists, and Dessers got 6 goals and 2 assists. So based on last season performance, Donny probably right that Dessers is maybe the main man up top. I'd be interested to see what the role of Butland is amongst the goalkeepers. And then we've obviously got Kieran Dowell from Norwich as well. He managed 23 appearances in the English Championship last season and got 5 goals and 3 assists. So I'd be interested to see how that transfers to Scotland, and perhaps he can build on that as well.
Right, next up is St Mirren, Donny.
St Johnston.
St Johnston, not... Did I say St Mirren?
I'll do St Johnston. St Johnston, if you look at it, look like a team that are preparing for the Championship already. They have going out the door Jamie Murphy, Michael O'Hanlon, Murray Davidson, David Wotherspoon, Elliot Parrish, a couple of loans ended, Remy Matthews and Adam Montgomery. And all they've brought in so far is a goalkeeper from Cambridge, Dimitar Mitov. So big clearance from St Johnstone. I don't have confidence that they will do much this season. In fact, I'd probably tip them to go down. I've big worries about this team and the fact that they've not really brought anyone in, a bit like Hearts. I think they're going to start the season on the back foot, and that's not good. It's a team that doesn't score a lot of goals. Okay, they've got Stevie May, who can go on a streak, but there's nobody in that team that ever gave me cause for concern from a fantasy point of view, and I don't see that changing. Just an avoid for me.
I'm looking at the injuries. They don't look like it's so far one of these clubs to steal it last year, but they haven't done anything to look like they're going to survive, I suppose, if they wait and see. They're still early days. Tom, any comments on St Johnson?
No, a lot of players out and only a goalkeeper in, so they didn't do too well last season, so they're probably less likely to do well as it stands just now. Bit of a concern, but as mentioned before, the transfer window's open for a while yet, but we only have, is it 18 days till the first game of the season? So the better start moving fast, I think.
Right. And that means it's the last club, is it Mirren? I've got a different idea, Donny, that's fine. So,
that's okay. So St Mirren, Eamon Brophy has left, Richard Tate has left, and Curtis Main has left. They had Tony Watt on loan for the second part of the season. He has left as well. Coming in is Connor McMenamin, the midfielder. Michael Mandron is a forward, and Stav Namani is on loan from Israel somewhere. I think St Mirren probably were the surprise team of last season. Strain, Bacchus, O'Hara were all regular features in our teams. Whether they can keep that up, I think maybe they can. I think they're well organised. They play a good style of football. If they can get goals, then that will really do them in good stead. But some of these names I don't really know much about. But St Mirren had a good season last season. I think they can build on that going into the season.
Right, that is it. Well, Tom, thoughts on St Mirren first?
I think Zach Hemming, he was on loan at Kilmarnock last season. So
yes.
Kilmarnock didn't keep too many clean sheets, so bit of a concern there. I don't really know much about the forward that's came in from Israel, or the other signings for that matter. So I don't really know too much in terms of St Mirren. They didn't do too badly last season, so if they kind of keep the status quo, then I think they should be all right. Obviously, Strain was a big fantasy asset last season, so if they can keep a hold of him, then he could be a potential for this season as well. But again, need to see how St Mirren start the season and see if they strengthen much more.
Okay, right. That's our transfer roundup as it stands. So before we go to questions, we'll do the price reveal then, right? So we'll go through them all. A couple of names here. Let's go through them one at a time. Unfortunately, the app was updating, so I couldn't see the last year's prices. So unless you've got it by memory, we'll just need to go by what it's for here and that's it. I've tried to compare, but the actual website's closed and I couldn't find it. Right, first up, goalkeepers, we've got two. Kelly Roos, Aberdeen, 3.1 million. Donny, thoughts?
Maybe on the pricey side of goalkeepers, but you know, he's uncontested. Aberdeen, they did finish the second half of the season well. A lot of us were double Aberdeen defence. So you'll get good returns. Price-wise, I don't know. I think if he's 3.1, you can expect Butland and Hart to be closer to 3.5. So you probably wouldn't want to go that far. But he's a good set-and-forget goalkeeper. I would have no issues with him and my team.
Donny, hey, Tom's even?
Roos, potentially. I think there's still value there if Aberdeen can replicate their form that they had at the end of last season. Goalkeepers, as we know from doing the top 10 every week, it was rare that a goalkeeper would even feature in the top 10. There weren't really known for getting massive points hauls. I think in terms of when I'm building my team, once the game launches, I'll be filling up the rest of the positions first and seeing what budget I've got left for goalkeepers. If I can stretch to the 3.1, then it could be a consideration there, but it all depends on budget.
Okay, my thoughts are good keeper, maybe a bit pricey, but he is, as you both mentioned, uncontested in goals. If they can keep that kind of similar form as last season, 2 minutes up. So back on Rus. So I don't know, we need to see other price reveals because we're going to mention a goalkeeper in a minute that's a wee bit cheaper and also nailed. So it depends what the rest can come in at. Next up is Liam Kelly, Motherwell, 2.9 million. Thoughts, Tom?
Could offer some value there. I mean, he's not much cheaper than Rus. If I had to choose between the two and I had the 0.2, then I'd probably be going with Rus. But I think he did quite well last season on the back of saves. And I think did he not get a penalty save, a couple of penalty saves as well? So I did quite well last season, but he's got the potential to do well again this season.
Donny?
I'd probably go the other way. If I was to take Rus or Kelly, those prices, I'd probably fall on the Kelly side. I think he is a good set and forget goalkeeper. I think his stats over the last two seasons are up there with the best. Okay, they won't get the clean sheets, but he'll get the saves. He's got that fine balance. So 2.9, that's more of a reasonable price for a goalkeeper. It suggests there will be cheaper goalkeepers available at the lower end of the league, but it seems a pretty respectable price for somebody that has got a good status in the game. So Kelly, I quite like him at that price.
Yep, I like the idea of Kelly as well. Plus also, I don't want any double-ups this year, so it would let you have an Aberdeen defender, fullback potentially, depending on how they're priced. Yeah. So it's something you have to look at when we see the price reveals. Next up is always captain him, James Tavernier, Rangers, £7 million. I believe that is no movement for last year. Donny?
He was 6.8 last year.
Was he? Okay,
so not a huge increase for, let's be honest, the number one player in the game. Goal scoring, returns, obviously penalties, set pieces, and obviously defensive returns as well. I think we're all going to have him in our team, regardless of what that price was. So for me, it's a no-brainer. And as I say, it's not really that much. What you want from a defender is obviously somebody that's playing every week and is probably as cheap as possible, because as we noticed last year, with the introduction of VAR, clean sheets definitely declined. There was more penalties given away. So from a defensive point of view, there's not as much returns as there used to be. But from an attacking point of view, it's where James Tavernier comes into his own. So we'll all have him. 7 million, you take the hit, and then you build your team around him. So as I say, it's not a huge difference to last season.
Tom, thoughts on Tav?
Yeah, I think he could be 9 million. I think you're still going to get him in. If you don't have him, then you're going to struggle to make any ground. So for all the new players of this season, the mantra last season was fairly consistently always captain Tav, because he's on penalties, he's captain, so he's fairly assured of starts, and yeah, plenty of assists, takes free kicks, takes corners, and Rangers do get, like Selig, do get a fair share of the clean sheets as well.
Yep, agreed in my teams, Tav and Ian, captain in most weeks. I think we end up last week with captain Tav, vice-captain Keogh, they kind of worked out, so I don't see that changing unless we can't fit them in our team. But, yep, I think new players, as Tom mentioned, always captain Tav unless something happens and you don't captain Tav. But if you do it, then you might end up through the day that you do not captain him. Next up is Mun defender Ryan Strain, 3.2 million. I believe that's where he finished last season, 3.2 million. So he's in price to that in the game. Cover you first, Tom. Thoughts?
I think it's good value if he maintains his form from last season. I don't know if we'd be getting him in right away, because I think he did kind of drop off a little bit towards the end. So I would have to see what kind of budget I've got left, having kind of getting the main players in first of all. But he did do very well last season. So if he replicates it, then I think that should be decent value.
Thoughts, Donny?
I think it's too expensive for a starting off defender. If the budget's still the same, 60 million for your 15, then I think that's too much value for somebody who plays in defence. You forget quite quickly that your team increases quite considerably over the course of a season. I'm pretty sure my team would have ended up 70 million plus. And when you're at that level, you can pretty much afford any player in the game. But, you know, the first few weeks when there's very little movement in prices, then your team will be restricted somewhat. You'll have a lot of budget defenders in there. So for me, Ryan Strain at 3.2 is probably a bit too much. I would be looking for likes of Cochrane or Sean Kelly, see what price they are. Similar kind of defenders, get the attacking returns. But no doubt he's a good player and, you know, clutched up quite a bit last year, but I think that's just a bit too pricey to begin with for me.
Yep, I tend to agree. I don't want to be paying over $3 million for a defender unless you're playing for Celtic or Rangers, to be quite honest. If they wait and see, they might become value elsewhere. But again, as Tom mentioned, if he's still playing that kind of really attacking wing-back role, then he could come up trumps quite a few times, but it's to wait and see. As it stands, I think it's an avoid at the start for myself. Next up is Celtic midfielder Rio Hatate, 5.3 million. Tom?
He did do really well last season. I don't think he was in many teams because most people would have had Kyogo up front, Jota, and then a defender. A lot of people had Taylor last season. So Hitati was I think he was maybe in and out of some squads. Now that we don't have Jota, I think Jota was around about the 6 million mark. It does free up some funds, and Hitati can't get big hauls. He tends to haul quite a lot. So I reckon that could be decent value. Certainly consideration for the start of the season.
Okay. Thoughts, Donny?
I think this is a really good one. I think this could be one of the hidden gems of the season. I saw that he took a penalty at the weekend and that was enough for me. If he's on penalties for Celtic, which has always been a bit of a hit and miss over the course of the season, then 5.3 could be excellent value. He was 5 million last season and nobody really knew much about him. And I think you had him in your team, Peter, and he did get some good returns. I think he would be one of the first names in my team. And if he is on penalties, then all the better. What you need to remember as well is that, you know, the aim is to get 3 Rangers, 3 Celtic, because obviously that's going to shape you up the best. You'll never be able to do that at the start of the season just because of your budget. So the most likely scenario is you're going to have 2 and 2. We're going to have Kyogo. We're going to have Tavernier. So that only leaves 2 other spots. You'll need to pick wisely. I think Hatate could be really good value. I think he could have a good season for Celtic.
Yep, I like the look of Hatate. I think I had a big spell last year. So depending on who Rodgers is setting up the team, that's the only thing that's different. It's not the AND system we're in. So if he's sitting at the base of the 3, then it may not be as point scoring. We'll have to wait and see. I think it'd be wasted there. I think it'd be better playing with one of the 4-2 strikers, 8 midfielders anyway. So we'll have to see. But I think at that price, he ticks over nicely. Depending on other players' prices when they come out, I think it could be a nice entry point into Celtic midfield. Next up, Mason Mount, midfielder Daniel Armstrong, Kilmarnock, 4.7 million. Dory.
Again, Armstrong was a fantastic fantasy player last season. He takes all the set pieces for Kilmarnock. He's probably, again, going to be one of the first names on there. 4.7. Fittati's 5.3. 4.7 doesn't feel that bad. I think he's the sort of player you put on the bench, and if he returns, you get those points. If not, it's no loss. But from a Kilmarnock team that struggled last year, he was very consistent in getting double points returns, whether it's penalties or assists. Or, you know, he is a good fantasy player, one that stands out in midfield. So I think that's probably on par. I think that's about a right price for somebody of that nature.
Tom, thoughts on Armstrong?
I thought they kind of pitched it a little bit high. Like, if you're considering that Hitati's 5.3, 0.6 less, Danny Armstrong, I don't know. I'd be trying to find the funds to see if we could upgrade and perhaps get another Celtic or Rangers midfielder in rather than a guy that plays for Kilmarnock. He did have some hauls, but there was some barren spells as well. So, I don't know. I think he's a wait and see for me.
Okay. Next up, midfielder Celtic Marco Tilio, 5.1 million, Tom.
We were initially told he was a forward, were we not? Yes. And then now he's a midfielder. If he's potentially the Yota replacement, then 5.1 million, I think, is decent value there. Would he be jumping in right away? No, he potentially could be injured. We still need to allow him some time to perhaps adapt to the league, adapt to the style of play. So he could be valued, but he's not someone that would have in my team at the start of the season.
Donny?
Yeah, I mean, it's an unknown quantity as far as that Celtic midfield is concerned. Celtic have got a huge squad in terms of midfield, so whether the game time's there or not, we're not going to know. So it's one of those ones, you just have to wait. And if he does kick off, you maybe just jump on him. I remember doing that with Kyogo when he scored in Europe. I was just straight on him and he went on a good run. So don't know enough about him. Don't know how he's going to play in that Celtic team, if at all. So I guess you just have to stay clear of him.
Yeah, agreed. It's a minute situation, I think. We don't know if he's going to play or not, if he's keeping just off the bench, even if he's going to be anywhere near the first team squad at the start, where you don't have a clue. So that'll be one you just have to wait and see. Again, all we always say this podcast, wait and see, but unless he nails that position as his own, then I think you keep it going elsewhere to start with your Celtic assets that are probably more nailed than him. Right, two left, two forwards. First up, Lauren Shanklin Hearts, 6.5 million. Donny.
I mean, if he can replicate a goal scoring from last season, then I guess it does offer value. We've not really talked Hearts up much on this podcast, but you know, one thing you can't guarantee is that he will score goals, and it's probably going to be Shanklin that gets them. In terms of last season, Kyogo was 7.8 starting price. So I expect that to be closer to 8, if not 8 plus. 6.5 is a big price tag, but he's the main man for Hearts. Most things will go through him. He's not a name I'll be looking for at the start of the season, but apart from Rangers and Celtic, he's probably the next big striker. I suppose Duke Miowski, but it's a reasonable price. It's maybe a bit expensive when we talk about the next player, but he's got a good pedigree in the game, and that's all you can ask for. So I wouldn't be against it.
Tom, thoughts on Shankland at that 6.5 price? Too pricey for you?
I don't think it's too bad. He always tends to be within the sort of top three, top four strikers every season. So he does return. He's on penalties. I think the fact that Ginelli played down the centre quite a lot last season for Hearts, and he's no longer there, I think that kind of opens things up a bit more for Shankland this season. I think he's probably going to be playing in front of goal now, so I think he could potentially increase his points from last season. He might not be too bad a placeholder. If we're unsure about who Rangers are going to play up front, then he's kind of got that big budget where, you know, we're going to talk about Dressers. We know his price as well. So you could potentially drop down to him from Shankland. If it's Lammers, if Lammers suddenly has a good run, then it might be him. So he could potentially be a placeholder there. So he's something I would be interested in, and I think Hearts' fixtures are quite good for a decent run at the start of the season as well. So I think he could be my game one team.
Interesting. As Tom alluded there and spoiled the last name.
Sorry.
Cyril Dressers, Rangers, 6.1 million striker. Donny, if he is the main man up front, we'll find it soon enough. Is that a must have in your team?
I would say so. Again, going back to my point about having 3 and 3 as your ideal setup, you know, Todd Cantwell is a player that a lot of us will have eyes on. So if you've got him, Tavernier, Kyogo, and, you know, Dessers, it's going to be hard to squeeze him in. But if he's the main man up front for Rangers, then you're going to be guaranteed goals. Then 6.1, cheaper than Shankland. I think it does offer value. They'll have Lammers and Sima as well. So you could, there'll be weeks they maybe doesn't score and they do. So you just have to be patient. But it is a reasonable price for a Rangers forward. As I say, Kyogo's going to be at least 8. So, you know, I think it is good value, but we'll know in a couple of weeks once we've got games under our belt whether he is the real deal or not. So I'll keep you posted.
What's Tom?
Yeah, it could be a decent price. I'm sure Čolak, was he 5 million last season? 5.5?
He was cheap because Morelos was about cheap. 8 million. Yeah, he was cheap.
I think they were on the assumption that Morelos was going to be a fairly consistent starter, but he didn't look too fit at the start of last season. So I think Čolak kind of took the position and did really well at the start. So maybe a little bit too high considering he's a bit of an unknown quantity, but I think pretty much any striker that's going to play in the Rangers team is going to do well over the course of a season in Fantasy Scotland.
Okay, because I'll just wait to see if he's playing or not, but I think if he's a main man up top, I think you'll have him in, especially if he's not priced any dearer than like a Shankland or a Duke, then it kind of makes sense to me. Right, well, at the hour mark, so we're going to quickly fire through these questions and we'll wrap up. So we'll start with Josh McCaffrey, JoshMacC_05. Great to have you back, lads. Thanks for watching, Josh. What new signings do you think can be the best FFS assets this season? And what teams are seems to have assets from the beginning of the season, if there are many from each team? Right, we'll just cut this. So give me 2 players each new signings, and what 2 or 3 teams are you targeting from the start of the season, Donny?
I mentioned at the beginning, I think Scott Tiffany could be value at Dundee and Devlin as well at Aberdeen. I think they could both be good signings. Teams that I'm targeting, I'll say Rangers, Celtic, Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs. It's probably no surprise there. Maybe not so much Hearts based on what we've said, but it's usually those teams that perform well, teams that can score. Usually do you a good turn in fantasy football, and then it's just finding the gems from the rest.
Hey Tom, same with you. 2 new players you're interested in, and what teams will you be targeting for players at the start of the season?
Kyle Turner for me. I'm going to say he's going to do well at Ross County, just as a punt, to be honest with you. He could be the next. What was him that played for Hamilton that season? Callaghan. Is it Callaghan?
Oh, Ross Callaghan. Yeah. Right.
Aye, and you know, Hamilton got relegated, but he was, you know, returning every week. It's a massive gamble, but he's probably going to be quite cheap, so why not? The other one, I don't know. There's not really lots to choose from when you look at like 39-year-old goalkeepers and things like that. Not great. Kieran Dowell at Norwich, I reckon.
At Rangers, Norwich.
From Norwich to Rangers, Todd Cantwell took the same step and did really well towards the end of last season. So I reckon Kieran Dowell could potentially do the same there as well. So in terms of teams that I'll be targeting at the start of the season, I know we said we're going to go through the fixtures next time, but both Hearts and Hibs don't meet Celtic or Rangers until game week 9 and 10. So they've got a nice run up till then. So I'll be seeing what Hearts and Hibs players perhaps look good in pre-season. And if the price is right, maybe take some of those.
Okay, with teams I'll target, it'll be usual Celtic Rangers. And I think it was Hibs I was going to say because of that fixture run, Tom. Players think are going to do well. I think Nisbet at Aberdeen could do well. And I think, whatever Rangers striker is nailed, who is his main man, he'll do well. I think it might be Dessers, that's the 2, I think. Right, next question. Melvino, 1968. Welcome back, lads. I missed you lots. Apart from Tav and Kyogo, who are the 3 best assets you're looking to get on your team this year? Price dependent, of course. Right, 3 players out with Tav and Kyogo. Tom.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Probably Hitati. I think with no York, I think Itati's probably the Celtic mid you've got to go for. As it stands just now, obviously, the pre-season's just starting. I think they're playing a team in Japan tomorrow. So we can see how things go there. I'll be kind of keeping a closer role in Rangers. They're playing Newcastle, so we kind of know a bit more about Newcastle than we do about Japanese teams. So whoever stands out there could be a decent option as well. Cantwell obviously ended the season well. Him and Tillman did well, but obviously Tillman didn't stay at Rangers, so Cantwell, I reckon, will probably do quite well there as well.
One more? Is that three?
Or one more. Dessers.
Okay. Donny, three players, apart from Keir Wintav?
I think Ellie Ewan's a player I'm quite excited about this season. I'm hoping that he can take off for Hibs. I was going to mention Cantwell, so I'll mention somewhere else. I think Clarkson, Aberdeen, and like Sir Armstrong, again, you know what you're getting. Put him on the bench and you'll get a return. So I think, you know, it's all familiar names to those that have played the games before, but, you know, I think we can be quite excited about them going forward in terms of returning.
Yep, so I'm going to overlap both of these. My three would have been Clarkson, Aberdeen, Cantwell, Rangers, Hatate, Celtic. That's the three. If priced reasonably, they'll win my team for the first game. Right. Next up is Gavin. No, sorry. Next up is Kevin Wood. Glad to have you back for another season. Which club do you think will finish top six this season? So, top six, Donny, in no particular order. Or you might put them in order. It's up to you.
I've got them in order, but I pretty much think it'll be the same top six. So, well, Rangers at top, sorry.
I was going to say,
Rangers at top, Celtic, a distant second, Aberdeen, Hibs, Hearts, St Mirren. I just think there's nothing really in any of the other teams that I think can leapfrog that. And then Motherwell without the goals, Kilmarnock don't score enough, Livy are consistent. You could maybe say they could go in the top six, but I think it'll probably be the same top six as last year, although Rangers will walk it
for flip a change. That, Tom. Flip that. Right, Tom, top six?
Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hibs, Hearts, and then I think the position, I'll say St Mirren based on last season, but I think that's like a kind of a wild card spot. I think it's up for grabs between any team in that, but beyond that, I think.
Right, okay. I'll go Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hibs, Hearts, and I think Motherwell will be in the top six. St Mirren's miss out. There's my six.
Yeah.
Right, next up. Gavin, loads of numbers after his name. I'm just keen to hear who's on the new signings to watch out. We've covered that one. Of which of last year's stalwarts are essential? We've kind of covered that as well. Which new signing do you think will have the biggest impact? We've done that. Also, any changes to the game? Not that we know you, Gavin. I won't have a plus again this year when I come back. So I think we've covered all that. Is there any stalwarts you'll have as essential? That's the only thing we've not covered so far. Donny?
So I'll be looking, like Alex Crocker and Sean Kelly. Those always offer good value. And just your cheap, maybe on loan defenders, those 2.2s that are starting up front, your non-playing players. So as soon as the app comes out, there'll be a lot of buzz and we'll be sort of picking out those types of ones. But just keep an eye on all the friendlies, all the cup games, and get as much information from there as possible.
Right, Tom, same question. Any stalwarts for last season you're looking out for against your team?
I think it's all very much price dependent and we don't have all the prices, but I don't know if you call him a stalwart, but he certainly was talked about, and in a lot of teams will be probably be Clarkson at Aberdeen.
Cool. Right. It's all price dependent. The only stalwart I have on my team will be the non-playing player in midfield. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Right. Next up, Michael Scott is at Yala_Leopard. Good to have you back. Please tell me if you know whether FFS have changed the rules requiring separate teams in the mini league and we will be able to enter the same teams in all mini leagues. So we don't know for sure, but I believe with the feedback they took on board and with the message of back to basics, I think we can pretty much say not 100%. I think you can put one team in different leagues I think that would help them get people back playing, and we keep interest in players who are playing throughout the season without trying to think of many teams. Do you agree on that, Donny?
No, I agree. I think they've had enough feedback. We all said the same thing. The game itself is really, really good. But even I had two teams last year, and I still didn't manage to finish with the same two teams at the end of the season. So it was a juggling act. If they can keep it the same, that's great. If they can maybe introduce some changes, maybe some different chips or something like that, just to point scores, then that just refreshes it. But the game itself is pretty good. And if they make that one change, I'm sure they'll get a lot more people engaged over the course of the season.
Okay, agree, Tom?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they're probably going to go back to the old format. I don't know how that's compatible with the sort of
gambling aspect of it.
Gambling aspect of it, yeah. But we'll see. But I reckon it'll be one team for multiple leagues will be allowed, which does make things easier for the main league and then your subsequent mini leagues after that. So fingers crossed. Hopefully it's not too much longer now that the game can launch and we can actually start making some drafts.
Right, we'll find it in due course. So there's not much more to say on that. And the last question is from Scotty TRFC 55 Scotty D. Have they said when the season starts on the app? I've already called it. We don't know yet. I'm assuming once it'll be live on the Google and app, we'll go live straight away. So hopefully not before this podcast out and we should be fine. Right, that is us covered on, right? So next week we fall back. Hopefully the apps went live next week so we can discuss maybe first run drafts. We'll go through the fixtures in a bit more detail. And I think that's it. So one thing to say more time is the cup is open officially. You can DM me, Fantasy Half, enter the cup. I'll put a tweet out probably later this evening so you can reply to that tweet and then that would be entry the cup as well. And once I know full figures, I'll do the details of how it kicks off and how the rules are. But it will kick off in Game Week 1 like we do every year, so it's something interesting at the start of the season. So that is us. You can get your plugs in, Donny.
I am at FFS _ Donny.
Tom?
I'm at FFS _Scout.
I'm at Fantasy Half. Thanks for listening. Hope that was informative for you all. We'll be back next week again to talk through more Fantasy Football Scotland. So, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.